Blog Talk Radio.
To Applause Radio Show. How are you? Happy, oh my God, I almost said Valentine's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. I hope everybody's enjoying their day. I'm shy. You know, I don't even know if there was a parade today in New York. I don't think so. I haven't watched the news. I have no idea. I didn't hear anything about it, but I know the local towns where I am in New Jersey, I don't believe are having them either. So another different holiday, right? So well, the restaurants are opening up, I think, to 50% capacity now, and New York 75%. So hopefully everybody was able to, who normally really, really enjoy St. Patrick's Day, are enjoying a wonderful meal, a wonderful St. Patty's meal. We tried to get shepherd's pie from one of our favorite restaurants. Unfortunately, they didn't have it today. They had corned beef and cabbage, and I don't eat either. So not Irish, not that it matters, but just not my thing. So, but tonight we've really got we've got a great show for you guys tonight, somewhat along the lines of St. Patrick's Day. Our guest tonight, he's was born and raised in Dublin, so I'm excited that he's joining us on St. Patrick's Day. And his name is Colin Smith, and we're going to be playing a new song for him tonight. It's called Is It Ever Now? And I'm looking forward to playing it for you guys and letting you guys hear it. And before we start, I believe we have Colin on the line. So let me just say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll get right into it, guys. I don't want to keep you. The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. KWV Wines in South Africa. Teas for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey. Syntech Productions in Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey. Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake. We're going to talk about that later. They're having a wonderful auction, and I can't wait to talk about it with you guys. Cloyes and Designs in New Jersey. Think Big Picture LLC in New York. The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey. Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. GenieBottles.com and H21 Hand Sanitizer. Hi, Colin. Is that you?
It is me. How's it going?
Oh, well, do I hear an accent? Let me hear. How are you?
You do hear an accent, you know. Yeah,
oh, happy St. Patty's Day, lad. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. It's a very different St. Patty's Day here in New York, but
I like it, I have to say.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Did they do the parade this year? I haven't seen the news.
In the city here in New York?
Yeah.
No, God, no. No, nothing.
I
took myself on a walk. I took myself on a walk in Central Park today. It was so nice, very serene, because it was, you know, as weather goes, it wasn't that inviting to take a walk, but that's kind of
right.
Like the best time to go take a walk in the park.
Right, because there's no one out.
There's less people around, so it was quite serene, very, very different from, like, you know, any time spent in the city, you know, in years previous, where it's kind of, St. Patrick's is a byword for mayhem, basically.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. For those of you who don't know, New York is kicking on St. Patrick's Day. I mean, every bar overloaded, the parade itself. I mean, that's what I was saying before you got on, that, you know, it's a different we're going to celebrate it differently this year, again, another holiday.
Yeah.
But Oh, well, yeah. I wonder, what do you think they're doing in Ireland right about now? Did you think they were able to celebrate big time or no?
No, God, no. Ireland's lockdown is more severe than here. And it always has been. You know, Ireland has gone in through through different, you know, they'll have months. I think they're still currently in one, you know, like 6 weeks to 10 weeks or something like that, where people can only move within 5 kilometers of their, like 5 kilometer, you know, radius of their home address, and there are fines given out for being outside that. And it's been like that for nearly half the pandemic in Ireland, you know?
Right. And I bet no one's complaining, are they?
No. The people are complaining.
No, okay. Because, you know, here everybody,
I mean, like,
you know.
It's not like here. It's not like here where, you know, where there's, you know, nearly half the people are calling it anti-freedom kind of thing or whatever the gripes are here.
Ridiculous.
But there is, you know, I mean, listen, people get sick and tired of, you know, being cooped up. And especially if it gets drawn out and you're not seeing the kind of results that these kind of draconian drastic measures are supposed to bring about. Like if there's still spikes after that, it's like, well, then what the hell is going on? Like, why are we even bothering? But yeah, there are complaints, but it's not like the landscape here. The landscape here is special. You know?
Well, I'm assuming you still have family there.
Yes, I do. My brother and his family. He just became a grandfather, actually. But yeah, my brother and then all my cousins and stuff like that.
Yeah. And how long have you been in the United States, Colin?
I've been here. This is my 21st year.
Wow. And I saw how excited you were to get your citizenship.
Yes, indeed. Yeah,
it was a big deal,
actually.
Yeah,
it is a big deal. You know, and you know, while you're here and as an immigrant, you're, you know, each step is so nervy. You know, like the first time I came over with my band, and we came over on like a 90-day visa, and this is back in 2000. You know, like the normal vacation visa, the 90-day kind of, you know, visa waiver program kind of thing. And within that, we were able to get signed to a publishing deal with Warner Chappell, rather. And when we went, so we went home while, you know, that was translated into, you know, a year-long performer's visa. And then, you know, every year we have to subsequently renew that, like get a new visa. So for like 6-7 years, we were going through the visa program for, it was a P1, you know, out of all the different ones, it was a P1. And that's for certain entertainers and sports people and stuff like that.
Mm.
And, you know, you were always just nervous that, you know, was it going to go through, you know. Each year, the acceptance of the renewal got later and later till like the 6th or 7th year. I remember getting the actual visa with, you know, it's a year-long visa. By the time I got it, there was like 2 months left on it by the time it was approved, you know.
Figures, right?
It's so bizarre. So then I actually got lucky and I got the lottery. I won the green card lottery.
Oh, nice.
I won it first. Yeah, I won it first go, you know, which is unheard of, but I did. I'm never that lucky.
It's the luck of the Irish for you, Colin.
It's the luck of the Irish, but thank God it was that, you know, because I've never gotten more than like 2 lottery numbers, you know. So
well, you're better than me. You're better than me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. So, you know,
so I got plenty of that. Oh, God. So, yeah, so I got that. And, you know, I had that for, you know, after like 5 years on the green card, you can apply for citizenship. I let mine go till 10, which is kind of like you either get a new green card or you go for citizenship. So I did. And even though it said, you know, you can get it, honestly, there's so much paperwork and it takes so long to come back to you. And you're just afraid, you know, you're afraid to be getting something wrong. And so I just felt, you know, when, by the time it finally came through, it was something.
What
I
a
really
relief.
Wanted. Yeah. But this, it was something I really wanted. And as in, this is the country I live in. I've lived here longer than I've lived in any other country, including Ireland.
Mm.
And so this is my country. I wanted to be able to vote, you know, in the elections, and I wanted to, yeah, just really solidify that, put a ring on it, as they'd say, you know?
Yeah.
and so honestly, by the time it all came through, like, it was a year and a half from when I applied to get it, and by the time it came through, and then got did the ceremony with like 250 other people.
Wow.
Of all different ages from,
yep.
Like, I think there was over 90 countries represented in the courtroom, you know, all
wow.
different ages and sexes and you know, denominations. And it was, yeah, it was special. It was emotional and it was serious, you know, and important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I gather the pandemic must have kept pushing it off or making date changes and whatnot. Or no
well,
issues there.
This was pre-COVID. This was 2018.
Oh, okay. I thought it was recent because I saw the picture recently.
Oh yes, no, I'm very sparing with the Instagram posts.
Actually, Dean shared it with me. Actually, she showed me.
Okay.
She wanted me to see how happy you were when you got it.
Oh, okay.
So, and I was like, oh, look
how
happy.
He's
you
happy.
Yeah. Well, it is a big deal. It is, and you know, so many people take it for granted, especially, you know, born American citizens here, they take for granted what is involved and that people really, really do care about becoming a citizen. It's not that free ride thing or whatever you want. This to, like you said, this is your country. You spent more time here, and they make me laugh too, Colin, because if they took the test, they wouldn't pass it.
Well,
I guarantee.
This is it. Absolutely. Do you want to answer a couple of questions that I got?
I won't know them all. I do know a few, but you could try me. Give me one. Just one.
All right.
Make it easy. Make it easy.
I'll give you an easy one. How many years is a senator's term?
Oh, wow. I should know that because I've been, I think it's seven.
It's six.
God damn it. I said I should know that because I just got into politics within the last year and a half. So
back to the book.
Well, it's the first time I ever gave a shit, put it that way. You know, listen,
I hear you.
If you don't have to talk about politics or even care what's going on, then everything's good.
No, absolutely. No, to tell you the truth, it wasn't until I got, you know, till I got the citizenship. That was like my very first time voting was early last year in any election. Mm. Because by the time I left Ireland when I was 18. So I was always away then. And I'd lived in Italy for 5 years and I wasn't, you know, a citizen there either. And then I came to the States and then I never had the vote here. So I actually never voted in any election until the primaries last year.
Mm. Well, I have a confession. This was the first time I ever voted in my life. And I've lived here my whole life. I'm born here and I never felt that I needed to, that it mattered. But yes, it did this time. So I had to do something. I had to do something to help. So how often do you go back to Ireland? Well, not now, obviously, but how often before the pandemic did you go back to Ireland?
It probably averaged out about once a year, you know. I would go, like, my mom lives up in Canada beside my sister up there, and I would, you know, some Christmases I do there, some Christmases I do at home in Dublin. And then sometimes work brings me home, you know. Sometimes I have to go home and play a gig or whatever it might be.
Oh, let me ask you, do you know Neil Byrne?
I went to primary school with a guy called Neil Byrne, but I doubt he's the same fella. No, who's Neil Byrne?
Well, Neil Byrne, he was in Celtic Thunder, and now he's in a new band, Byrne and Kelly.
No, I don't, no.
He'll
Not
be
the
on,
same circles.
Yeah, he'll be on the 27th. He's coming on. He's calling us from Ireland, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and we also had Paul, oh, God, Paul, don't hate me. Oh, I can't think of Paul's name. Paul was on too. He called us directly from Ireland too. It was really nice. So anyway, let's get on. Let's stop talking bullshit here. Let's get into you. Let's talk about you. Okay. Now you got the publishing deal. So are you doing the publishing? I can't even speak. Are you doing the publishing first, or were you already playing with your band? And when did you start singing or playing with? I mean, did you open for these guys or sang with them? Christina Aguilera, Alicia Keys, Swizz Beatz, The Who. I mean, I want to know what you had to do with The Who and Van Halen. I mean, really. Tell me how this all started for you.
So, okay. So I'll try and skip through the headlines. Back in Dublin, when I was a teenager, I was in a band with my cousins. And we were handy, you know, and there was a couple of Italian producers spotted us in Dublin playing in a bar when we were about 17 or 18 or something like that. And they said, come on over to Italy. We've got some things for you to try out. And so we spent some time over there and we cut our teeth in the studio and got better at songwriting. And it didn't work out with them, but we stayed there and really cut our teeth playing a lot of gigs, you know, cover gigs in clubs and
Were you doing covers or originals, Colin?
Yeah, we were doing mostly covers, and then we were writing, you know, we were writing and getting our original material. And so we would be doing them here and there. But
right.
You know, it's kind of a mix of both. And at that time there was a young American manager that managed to spot us, and he was like, you know, if you guys are interested, you should come over to the States and see if we can get something going with a label or something. And so skipped to coming over and doing a few showcases. And then we came back, like I said, in 2000, we came with the 90 day visa thing, and we just played loads of Irish bars, and we set up more showcases. And at this stage we were building up a little loyal following out of like the Irish enclaves of like Sunnyside and Queens and stuff like that. And so our gigs were getting exciting, and they were pulling people in, and the industry was starting to pay attention. And so first we got the publishing deal. We kept playing, and the publishing deal was always with an aim to getting the record label deal. And that actually came about a year and a half later, after much slogging and kind of refining of what we were doing. And so we got signed to RCA. We made a record with out in the West Coast with a great producer and New York legend, Jerry Harrison. He's actually from Michigan, but he's New York legend in that he was part of the Talking Heads, you know, he was one of the Talking Heads.
So
we made our record with him, and then that was the time that all the labels started to kind of, you know, collide into each other. Well, yes, we got signed and we made it with him, but after making the record, the climate at the time was where all the labels started to shrink and kind of collide into each other and merge and stuff. And so we were one of many bands that suffered the fate of not making the cut, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept the album, which was kind of cool. And we just started doing things in a very indie way after that. And so we released that, and all the time, that whole time, we were also signed then to the William Morris Agency. So we had like the biggest touring rep, and a wonderful woman, Lord rest her, Barbara Skydell, who was a legend in the industry, and her client roster on William Morris included Tom Petty and The Who and Roger Waters Van Halen.
Wow, great roster. Yeah,
she had an amazing roster. I mean, the stories that woman had were unbelievable. She used to work with a guy, another legend in the industry, a guy called Frank Barcelona, who was like U2's rep from their first club gig in like the Mud Club or something in like the 70s all the way up to the mid 90s. And so she was, you know, in step with Frank doing U2 stuff all the way up. But she was wonderful to us, and she kind of got us all those great opportunities to open up for, you know, Bryan Adams, and like I said, The Who on a couple of occasions was incredible, and Van Halen, and you know, Van Halen in like Vegas, and like, you know, just for like young Irish people.
So you opened for them. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a great,
and now,
you know, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I just like I've the fondest memories of Eddie. You know, I remember the first gig we had with him was in Lubbock, Texas, we were sitting in it was in like some college basketball arena or something, a big one, like 12,000, I think it was. You know, and we were down in the guts of the place in a dressing room. And we're kind of sitting there on our MacBooks at the time and just, you know, idling away till it's time to go sound check, being good little boys staying in our quarters. Mm. And out of nowhere, the door bursts open. And as it bursts open, we get a ta-da! And we look around and it's Eddie Van Halen doing like jazz hands as he bursts
into
the thing.
Funny.
And this was his way of like coming in to say hi. And we were like, hi, Eddie Van Halen. And he goes, hey, how's it going? He goes, and then he looks around the room, and then he asks out loud, he goes, which one's the singer? And they all turn and point at me, and he goes, he looks all right. He says, and then he says, better than the two we have, and I won't use what words that he used to describe
him. Oh, that's funny.
But,
Oh my God.
So I ended up hanging out, like he told us, like I was a huge Michael Jackson fan when I was a kid, so I was like straight in with, tell me all about the Beat It solo.
You know.
And he whacked lyrical about that great story about Quincy Jones calling him and him hanging up the first five times and then Quincy having to scream, please, it's really me, you know?
Who would expect Quincy Jones to call Eddie Van Halen? I mean, if I was Van Halen, I would never think Quincy Jones would be calling me.
Right, exactly.
You know.
But he was really lovely. He was, at the time it was post, I think he had lingual surgery at the time. He had like throat cancer or something. And he was supposed to be on his best behavior. He was on excellent behavior.
Hello.
He would have a bit of Yellowtail Chardonnay and the odd American spirit. He saw me having an American spirit. And so he knew I was a cigarette buddy. And like even... Mm. On the last gig we did with him, which was in Albuquerque, in an amphitheater, and it was nice and during the day, you know, it was still bright when they were playing, and the way the stage was set up, you know, they had the wings, but it was quite free behind the elevated drum set and stuff like that. Mm. And of course, Eddie had several moments where he would take solos, but his brother Alex, the drummer, also had like an 8-minute solo, and you know the rest of the band would clear the stage, so he had the whole stage, and Eddie would go behind the riser, and I was standing on, you know, side stage looking at the gig, and Eddie went behind the riser and he saw his American spirit buddy, and he was like, come here. And so I kind of ran behind the stage, and I was just standing with Eddie with my last spirit right behind, like, you know, Alex's bum was at my head level, and so I was just slitting a cigarette with Eddie Van Halen right behind, you know, Alex.
Oh wow!
He was playing a drum solo, like
wow.
It was every kid's kind of just, you know.
Sure.
Dream.
Oh,
you don't need
God.
Money after something like that, you know.
Right. Wow. Like, not only did you share a cigarette with him, but the whole.
Yeah.
Atmosphere of it all too. It's like, wow, you're right. What an amazing moment.
Totally. You know, all of a sudden the $10 per diem didn't seem so bad.
right.
Yeah.
Well, since you opened for them and the Who, I'm guessing at the time you were a little more on the heavier side on the music, because Is It Ever Now is kind of mellow. So what kind of music were you playing at the time?
Yeah, so Mr. North was a rock band, you know, it was an out-and-out rock band, and very, it was very kind of theatrical and energetic and ambitious. And then in the subsequent records, like the record after that, we made a record with like a 50-piece orchestra that, you know, and we weren't even on a label at that stage, like we put that together. And so it was that ambitious kind of, big sounding rock, melodic, but you know, big and dramatic and stuff. But after near the end of that, I kind of, because it was all that way, I felt the pull to kind of when I started writing solo material, to kind of go to my other influences, which were a lot less or sorry, a lot more understated, you know, and so that would be
ballady.
Like more Americana and folky.
The ballads, yeah.
Yeah, and just kind of a bit more folk, a bit more singer-songwriter, a bit more like me and an acoustic guitar, and yeah.
Now, are
so
you, are you yeah. in the band still together, or are you so totally solo now?
No, I left the, I left that band in 20, like 10 years ago now.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
So, yeah, it's been a while. God, time flies. but yeah, so I've done, I did a few solo records and then I just started to get in, like as a musician and in a career, I just started to do other stuff. I had a couple of side projects, but at the time then, you know, the things that were making me money is I was playing in the Village Underground house band, which is kind of legendary, you know, club down in the West Village. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody would come through, like Prince and John Mayer and, you know, you name it. They would come through and get up with the band and all that kind of thing. And my musicality increased a lot and my experience a lot and also my exposure. And it was from that I ended up, like, with the job with Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that one.
Yeah, she released the song Say Something with a New York band called A Great Big World, which is a lovely duet, lovely song, gorgeous song altogether.
Is that that's not the Say Something I'm Giving Up On? No, that's
yes.
not it, is it? Oh, it is.
That
okay.
Is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
cool.
So she won Grammys for that, and she needed to tour, but obviously she wasn't going to be able to sing that with the original band when she was off doing her thing. And so
right.
her musical director was a guy that used to come down to the club that I was playing a lot. And when they asked him to go find somebody, he was like, don't call anybody. I've got the guy. And he came to me.
Mm.
And then that was that. And then I ended up singing with her for like 5 years, duetting.
Wow.
Sometimes we'd sing Zeppelin together and stuff like that, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. But
that's
yeah,
pretty
that was
cool.
Fun.
Yeah,
cool.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Fun times, man.
Yeah, indeed.
So since you left the band, how many albums have you put out now? The new song, Is It Ever Now? Is that on an album? Is this just a single? You're doing an EP? What are we doing?
So what I'm doing is, so since that band, I put out two records. One is called The Wilderness, and the other is called It Only Took a War. And then I had two little side projects. One was another rock band, but that was like kind of like real straight ahead, kind of like classic rock, four-piece, a la Zeppelin kind of thing. And that band was called 100 Hounds. And the name of that album was called Heroics. And the other side project, whole album made, but it never came out for various reasons that I won't bore everybody with.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, this year, I thought I was going to make a new solo record, seeing as it's been kind of 6-7 years since I put something out solo. And I thought I had a breakup there a couple of years ago, so I thought I was going to do the rite of passage kind of, you know, and I certainly wrote all the songs for it. But as I was making the record last year, it just didn't feel like a big statement that I wanted to make. I mean, this song, Is It Ever Now, came out of nowhere. And it just felt more manageable and enjoyable to just concentrate on one thing at a time, like one song. So the plan for this year is I have another single coming out soon. And then there'll be one after that. And then I might have like a surprise little thing later on in the year that I won't say much about.
Mm.
But yeah, so is it a few singles kind of in the same vein aesthetically? And then we'll see, you know.
Well, this song is, I'm not going to guess, it's not so much focused on love. It's more focused on what we're all going through right now. Am I correct? Or?
Yeah, I think it's not specific on the specific circumstances, but influenced by, and what it's really talking about is how present are we? Is basically what I'm saying, you know, is the question, like, is it ever now? As in, you know, are you ever here and now? Are you worrying about, are you guilty and ashamed about the past, or are you worrying about the future in this present moment? Are you wasting the moment in you know, fictions? The past doesn't exist anymore, and neither does the future. And so are you, so where it kind of came from with me with, in terms of like the breakup is, as I would spend a lot of time kind of, you know, forever Monday morning quarterbacking what I did wrong or how it went wrong and stuff like that. I was kind of dealing, you know, I heard somebody use this very macabre expression, and there's like, it's like running your hand through a corpse's hair. Sorry to be so dark, but it's like you're having this interaction with something that doesn't really exist anymore. And as such, you're kind of making them up. It's like they're a hologram, and then you're giving them this whole script, and then they're talking back to you, but they're not. And so that the song, you know, the song is just that. Is it ever now? I'm waiting. You know, I'm waiting for me to just be here right now.
Right. You know, when is it going to happen? Is it now? Is it now?
Yeah.
Am I there yet? Am I there?
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. I got it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, since we're talking about it, why don't we give it a spin and let everybody hear it? Because I'm dying to hear it in its entirety, because I only heard a little bit of it. And it's really nice. So, everybody, we got Colin Smith, Ever Now. Check this out.
Horizon.
That was haunting.
Oh.
That was good.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Of course. Yes, of course. Mm. Yes. That was deep. That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you definitely were going through some stuff, huh?
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, man. Sure, wow, that was great. That was great.
Thank you.
I really liked it. And I'm sitting here. I'm like, wow, it's like it's haunting that what came to it. It's like it's, you know, you're by yourself and you just keep seeing all these images of someone that you love to death. And where are they?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, wow. Wow, it was really it was really deep. It really was. The music definitely too.
You know, I love that reaction. Honestly, it does that. You know, I couldn't. You know, that tickled me. I'm really glad because honestly, that's how I operate a bit. You know, I mean, I guess we all have many different facets, but I kind of have a go-to of the kind of the more serious and the more kind of earnest and the, you know, more get to the heart of the matter kind of thing. You know, that's where.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Yeah. You know,
really
so you're
good.
At Long Island, right?
No, I'm actually in New Jersey, hon. I'm
oh,
like
in
10
New
minutes
Jersey.
From you.
I was turned around the wrong way there. Sorry.
No, I really did enjoy it. And like, I mean, I'm listening to it for the first time, too. I heard a little bit of it when I was transferring it, and because I like to listen to it like everybody else for the first time. And you know, and then obviously when I listen to it the first time, I'm listening for things and stuff. But at the end of the month, I do a monthly mashup where I play all the music that we've had on, and I get to sit back and really enjoy it. But I have to ask you, what was that in the back making that haunting key sound? What was that?
Are you talking about in the chorus?
Yeah. What instrument was that, or what kind of effect was that?
So there's like a sliding kind of orchestra thing that happens. Like, it's like, is it ever now? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just like a sliding, like a string doing a little downward bend thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It grabbed me. It grabbed me.
Oh, that's. Yeah, you know, I did too. I made I wrote the song with the producer who did just a fabulous job. I basically only played a little bit of acoustic guitar and he kind of did the rest. He's an amazing guy called Tony Bruno. Mm. And, you know, we wrote and finished, you know, the production on the song soup to nuts in a kind of a period of 36 hours up in Woodstock in his studio. And,
nice.
And it was such a joy because everything was just happening with a flow, and each little bit that he'd add in, you know, my ears would like prick up and like, yeah, that's it, that's amazing. And that was a big, big standout. You know, when that
and when it's done, it just flows so naturally. You know, it just sounds like that. It was supposed to be like that, and it's cool. I really did love it, Colin. I loved it. Where can people get it? Well, tell us about it. When's it getting released? Is it out yet?
Yeah, it's out. You can get it on all your digital service platforms, on your Spotify, on your Apple Music, Amazon, anywhere you like to get your music. And of course, there's actually really a very lovely video that goes along with it.
I'll have to check that out.
It's really beautiful. It's an animated video, and if you thought that was haunting, the video is kind of it's a lovely companion piece in a very kind of mellow, hypnotizing way. It's very hypnotizing, the video. That's all I'll say about it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The song felt as well. You know, it's a hypnotizing, haunting sound that pulls you in and you want to hear what the hell is going on with you, you know, and it's really good. I mean, you know. Oh, man, I say this to all the good songwriters that come on. You got to get your heart broken more often, sadly, to get good music, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I have to ask you this. Now, being in Ireland, like, I would think that you two kind of made you say, oh, wow, I could do that, too. I could go to America and be this huge musician, whatever. Now, did you find them to be an influence in your career, or more Philip Lynott? I like Philip Lynott. He's my favorite.
Oh, you're speaking my language.
Out of Ireland.
Yeah. No, I mean, Tin Lizzy is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
And Phil is an absolute darling to me. Always a hero. And actually, I would have been into Tin Lizzy way more in my early years before I was into U2. I actually didn't cotton on to U2 until kind of quite late, like late in my teens. But then when I did, they were like, they were putting out Octane Baby. And that was just such a phenomenal record with such a phenomenal cultural impact. Like it was it was a style and a lifestyle that they like, it was an amazing reinvention that they went to from like Joshua Tree to that in like 4 years.
Right.
And
yeah.
And they were just a different band with this incredibly original sound. And it was awesome. And so, you know, we were just starting our band at that time, and it informed the kind of ambitions for the kind of music you could do, you know. It just wanted to be big and stadium and, you know, technicolor, as it were, you know.
Right. Now, your family is also musical. Who played and or what did they do in the family?
Everybody's a singer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
nice.
my parents met singing, actually.
Really?
And they were from a different era of, like, you know, Jeanette MacDonald and Nelson Eddy and, you know, singing somewhat classical and, like, different disciplines, like leader and things like that, my father did. And and like the musicals and stuff like that, the Desert Song and like Oklahoma and stuff like that.
So there was always music happening in the house.
Oh my God, yeah. Because then my brother and sister were much older than me, and so I had this curated listener experience where, you know, there was always opera and classical in the house, but then my brother and sister had a great big record collection of everything else I needed to know about, from like rock to pop to, you know, all of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. When you were growing up, when the radio stations you were listening to, were they playing a lot of American music or more Irish-geared music?
Well, we were very underserved in Ireland when I was a kid by radio, because there was tremendous restrictions and there wasn't the it's a small country. And so there wasn't the culture that we would see on American TV and in movies of this amazing radio culture where you've got just so, like, the dial is just full of, like, adventurous, music-loving stuff. Where we could hear kind of, you know, if you wanted to hear R.E.M. or the Pixies or your metal band or your whatever, you had to listen to what were called pirate radio stations, because Ireland was ridiculous in giving out radio licenses. Like, they held on to them like they were, you know, something entirely more precious than they should have been. And as a result, we just had very few, you know, if you could get the pirate radio station, if it managed to stay alive for 2 or 3 months before getting nabbed and knocked off the air, and word got to you about it, and you could find it somewhere on its weak signal on the dial, then maybe, you know, you'd get to listen to stuff. But other than that, you kind of had to depend on kids at school making tapes of the music that they heard coming from the States and stuff like that, you know?
Wow. Well, I guess, you know, it was kind of a good thing. They were trying to keep you guys normal. They didn't want you to see the weirdos in the United States, you know.
I'm never giving them that credit. Absolutely. Terrible. We were just jealous the whole time.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so now, Is It Ever Now is out. You're working on some other stuff.
I have a new single out. It's called The Tree. And that's kind of, it's like that song, but even more intense in terms of like the, and it's a duet. It's beautiful. I'm extremely excited. In fact, it's the song that meant the most to me in many years. The next one that's coming out.
Who'd you duet with it? Who's on it?
I'll be announcing that soon.
Oh, great, great. Someone
yeah.
we know?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You never know.
Cool. Now, also, have you ever put out any Irish music CDs or albums?
No, I haven't. I got close to it on that album that I told you that was made but never came out. I got close
yeah.
to it there. But no, I never have, no.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I
might be nice
you'll, do it, you'll do it someday. You'll do it someday.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think every yeah. Irish artist eventually does the Irish music. I mean, you know, the ditties or whatever. What do you call them? I don't know what you call them.
You can call it whatever you want there. Yeah, ditties is fine.
Oh, well, do you have a website yourself, Colin? Where can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, on the Colin Smith Music, and it's colinsmithmusic.com. That's one L in there, Colin Smith. Music Smith, like you normally spell it, S-M-I-T-H.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's also my handle on all the social media platforms. So on Instagram, Colin Smith Music, Twitter, Colin Smith Music, and on Facebook too. So.
Yeah, I found you. I found you to get my tags.
Oh, yes, you did. Good.
You got my tags, right?
Oh, you know what? Sometimes I don't. So I didn't see that today, but I'm sure it's there.
I blew you up on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, all over the place.
Oh, well, thank you. Then there's
stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was hoping you got to see the promo. I hope you liked it. But
thank you so much.
Well, you'll have to check it out. You'll have to check it out.
Well,
but,
now you have to dock me some. You have to dock me some points now.
Never, never, never. Well, listen, I would love for you to come back when you have your music already, you know, the more of your
yeah.
stuff, if you want
to
come back. Hey, you have an open
yeah.
door policy here. Everybody's welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's been absolutely my pleasure.
Well, I want to say thank you for spending your great day, St. Patrick's Day, with me today. You could have been doing anything, but you were hanging out with me, and that's pretty cool. So thank you so much, and I appreciate the song, man. Is it ever now? I'm going to close with it tonight because, man,
okay.
that is something. I was speechless after hearing it. I didn't know what to say because I felt it, like, you know. I mean, you really felt it. You know, that you get emotion from it, and it's really deep. It's definitely deep. Especially if somebody is going through something similar. I mean, you can
yeah.
definitely relate to it. That's for sure. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But again, Colin, thank you. And what a pleasure to meet you. And again,
yeah, you
come
too.
On back. Come on back.
My pleasure.
Well, everybody, Colin Smith. Thank you so much, Colin. You take care. And it was a pleasure
okay.
speaking with you. Take care, hon.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I'm telling you that if you didn't get to hear the song, we're going to play it on our way out, too. And really, it's deep. I mean, if you that's why I say I hate listening to it on the show because I have to pick at it. And I don't want to pick at it. I want to enjoy it. So I was listening for things. And I mean, now when I play it going out, I'm really going to listen to it more intently and hear everything that's going on in there, what he's saying and everything. I mean, I felt it. I didn't have to hear what he was saying. I felt it. So, but yeah, so we're going to keep St. Patty's rolling on maybe a week later, sorry, on the 27th with Neil Byrne. He's going to be calling us directly from Ireland. We're going to do an afternoon show for him because of the time difference. And so we're going to do 1 p.m. Eastern on the 27th with Neil Byrne. And he is formerly with the Celtic Thunder. And now he's in, he's got a new song out called Caledonia. And that's under the name of Byrne and Kelly. So he's got a new group. I don't know if they're new or not, but they've probably been together a while, but this is their new song, Caledonia. So we're going to play that for them on the 27th. And I'm looking so forward to Friday on the 19th, Melanie Chardoff. I'm a huge fan. I remember her best, obviously, from Fridays at the show Friday night that was on. And it was a great show at the time, but she has done so much more. I mean, she is a serious actor. She's she's in plays. She's a writer. I mean, she's got a new book out too, called Odd Woman Out, and pretty much about her life and how she felt growing up, as you can tell, Odd Woman Out. She felt like she was always the odd person out. So that's going to be great. I can't wait to have her on Friday. And Sunday, we got actor Kevin Spiridus. And the 24th, if anybody is thinking about it or you're going through it, we have a great guest on, Alyssa Panich. We're going to be talking with her. She's gives divorce advice. She's a divorce columnist. She writes, a divorce journalist. And she can give out some advice to you guys if you have any questions. And so that's going to be pretty cool. And then again, on the 27th, Neil Byrne will be joining us from Ireland. And then Alex Liu, he's got a new documentary out, Sexplanation. So I'm curious and dying to hear what that's about. And then, oh, I can't wait. George Takiris from West Side Story. He played Bernardo. And a great, great movie, great play, great everything about West Side Story. So he's got a book out, his memoir, My West Side Story is what it's called. And we're going to talk to him about that. And that, I again, is about his experiences, his probably before West Side Story, during West Side Story, what happened after that and how it changed his life, which I'm sure it did. And April's looking good, kids. It's looking good. We're pretty much full. We're going to have a special night on the 21st. We're going to have a night of comedy. I'm going to have some comedians for you doing a little skit. Each one's going to do a little skit. And we're basically doing a fundraiser for Vinnie Mark. He's a comedian as well. He's been going through a tough time with some medical stuff, him and his wife. So we're going to try and get some money going there and try and get you guys to go to their GoFundMe. You don't send it here. You send it to them. So we're just going to give you the entertainment, make you laugh during a crazy time, and help Vinny and Josie out. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that. And we've got some really, really, really good guests coming up. And I'm not going to announce them till maybe next week once everybody's all locked in. I mean, right now they're in the calendar, but we're not confirmed. So the dates are booked. However, not inked, just penciled at this point. But great guests, great, great guests. I can't wait. So, all right. Happy St. Patrick's Day again. And Erin, go braless. I've been going braless for a year now, and I'm loving it. I can imagine how they felt in the 60s when they burned the bras. I'm telling you, I don't know if I could put a bra on again, but I have to. So, all right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to Colin Smith. Thank you. I love the song, Is It Ever Now? We're going to play it on the way out. I'll also play it in our monthly mashup at the end of the month. And thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions from Noka Harbor, New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake. Oh, we got to talk about that. Cloison Designs in New Jersey, Think Big Picture LLC, New York, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, GenieBottles.com, and H21.com hand sanitizer. Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake. You hear me mention them here saying thank you for being part of the show. They are amazing, an amazing group. What they do is, I don't want to say Make-A-Wish Foundation, but somewhat similar, where they take a family who is dealing with cancer right now, and it doesn't matter who has it. You know, sadly, you know, somebody has it to be able to participate. But they take the family on a trip, and it could be anywhere. It doesn't have to be Europe. It doesn't have to be Italy. It could be anything. Just, it's a week away from life, dealing with going to the doctor, being sick, I mean, worrying about bills and taking care of the house, the kids. It's just a wonderful week. They make you feel like nothing matters in the world than what you're doing there right now. And so they are doing a fundraiser. They're doing an auction on the 25th, I believe it is. And it's an online auction. They've got some great prizes. I don't want to say prizes, products that you can auction on, that you can bid on. Summer trips. There's a bunch of stuff, actually. So we're going to get more information on that. I missed the call today, unfortunately. I was in a meeting, so I couldn't take the call. So, but, yeah, well, we're probably going to touch base probably tomorrow, and I'll give you more information on that on Friday. So if you want in the meantime, you can go to takeabreakfromcancer.org for Pete's sake. And go to their website or check them out on our website. You can just click on the link since you're at our website right now. Just click on their link and you'll see what they do. And you'll also see that the auction that they have coming up. So, and like I said, there's so much to say. I just don't have it in front of me because I haven't gone over the details. But I will be participating as well. There's a trip in there that I want. I'm hoping I don't have to take it right away, but because I can't go anywhere. I don't know when I'll be able to go somewhere. Anyway, yeah, so thank you so much again, Colin, and we're going to end this with Is It Ever Now? This is Colin Smith, Is It Ever Now? Thank you for listening. I appreciate it more than you know. Again, you guys could be anywhere, and you're hanging out with me, and I really love that. So I do appreciate it, and so I'm hoping you're digging what we're doing, and I hope you're going to dig the music tonight if you haven't heard it, and we're going to play it again. Is It Ever Now, Colin Smith. Good night, everybody. Take care. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And we will see you on Friday, the 19th of March, with Melanie Chardoff. Take care. Bye-bye. Is It Ever Now, Colin Smith.